Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and blessings, blessings and greetings, blessed souls, Dungeons and Goodman, and we're live because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercy. This is the 44th class of Soul class, Soul being an acronym for S70, original or oldest, U, universal, L, laws, which are related to the seven Noahide commandments, which are an opening door for all kol boi olam, all the inhabitants of the world, to abstain from blaspheming the Creator, to abstain from engaging in acts of idolatry, to avoid engaging in acts of premeditated murder, to avoid acts of adultery, to avoid acts of stealing, to avoid eating the limb of an animal while it is still alive, and last but not least, a seventh universal commandment, the Noahide commandments, is to raise up righteous statutes upon every land, to enforce the other six commandments, to clothe the naked, educate those who need education, and bring about a soulful revelation for every nation in this generation, a peaceful and pleasant manner. You know, blessed souls, this week's Parsha, Torah portion, which is Parsha's Bo, is the third portion of the continuing series of the saga of the going out of the children of Israel from the nation of Egypt, Mitzrayim. And I just wanted to vibe out on concepts of redemption because, you know, people have different interpretations. Some people believe it's going to be, you know, hell on earth. Some people think it will be heaven on earth. Some people think it will be a mixture of both. But really, blessed souls, the future is unwritten. Even though everything is foreseen by the Most High, we have to play a part of raising up our consciousness to break out of our own personal Egypt, which in Hebrew is the word Mitzrayim, which the root of the word Mitzrayim means mates or constriction or limitation. And one of the most restricting, limiting forms of experience that a human being can have is just to rely on their human intelligence. Not that we want to negate human intelligence, but we want to fuse human intelligence with divine instruction, which is provided for us as we of Israel humbly bring before the nations of the world and my own personal humble effort through the teachings of Torah, which were originally transmitted in a more general sense that's known, understood to the world, to Moshe, Moses, the mighty Levite prophet on Mount Sinai. But before him, there was a chain of transmission from the forefathers of Israel, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and before him, to Noach, and to Noach's son Shem, and before Noach, it was to Methuselah, and Methuselah's grandfather, Hanoch, and before him, it came down to Shes, and from Shes, and before Shes, it came from Adam Arishon, original man. So let's just look a little bit in Exodus 9:14 to give us an understanding, which people perhaps kind of read and glance over and kind of like just trample with the feet of their intellect instead of immersing a deeper perspective that they can glean from these teachings. So let's go to 9:14 in Exodus, where it says already the seventh plague of hail is about to strike Egypt. There's already been six plagues which were enacted upon Egypt from the beginning, I believe, of chapter 6 in Exodus. And it says here, the Most High told Moses to tell Pharaoh, Pharaoh, for this time I shall send all my plagues against your heart and upon your servants and your people, so you shall know that there is none like me in all of the world. And why should hail come down? That hail, what should hail down upon Pharaoh, Pharaoh, as what we see today, what we're all getting hailed on, blessed souls, to understand there's no one like the Most High. in the world. And in verse 15 in chapter 9, for now I could have sent my hand and stricken you and your people with the pestilence, and you have been obliterated from the earth. To this day, there's always been in every generation, because of the lackings, the lack of elevation of human consciousness diffused properly with divine intelligence, divine instruction, that one could literally see that the world could be literally wiped out with all the people. In those days, it was Pharaoh and the people of Egypt. However, in chapter 16, however, for this have I let you endure, in order to show you my strength, and so that my name shall be declared throughout the world. So it wasn't a punishment for the sake of punishing the Egyptians, but rather to demonstrate to them, because remember, Egypt at that time was the most powerful and intelligent civilization of its time, to show them that there was a greater strength in their intelligence, and there was a greater calling, which is the calling out to the name of the Most High in those days. And to this day, we are being also asked, although there's no modern-day Pharaoh or Paro in them, as we understood back then, because then he was an absolute monarch. And today we have elected leaders, not really with the Torah perception of what a king is. With that being said, blessed souls, I want to connect to a teaching, plucking out from a teaching from the Lubavitch Rebbe, Nachum Schneerson, from a teaching from almost 27 years ago, based on a verse in the Torah portion this week of Parshas Bo, starting from chapter 12, verse 41 in the book of Exodus. And on that day, in the essence of this day, that there went in all the hosts of the Most High, alluding to the children of Israel, from the land of Egypt, from Eretz Mitzrayim, and the night of guarding that it was to the Most High of taking them out from the land of Egypt. So what is the whole idea of, in that day they went out, the night of the guarding, which is the night when, you know, Moses had already commanded the Moshe, the mighty Levite prophet, commanded the children of Israel to put blood on the lintels from the sacrificing of the Paschal lamb. Because, you know, the Egyptians used to worship a lamb as a deity, as a god. And so the Israelites were not only going to go out, but with a high hand, they were going to show to them they should stop worshiping a sheep, as we say in Yesha Shepsula. At the same time, too, it's also written later on, in chapter 12, verse 51, in the book of Exodus, it says, in that the essence of this day, the Most High brought out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. So, we have two verses here, blessed souls, as the Rebbe explained, elucidated, of instances where it is written in the scripture. Moshe was commanded to write these verses. Two instances of the children of Israel going out of the land of Egypt. One, pointing out at the night of the guarding when they had the Paschal sacrifice and the first Passover celebration, and then going out by day. So, two expressions of the children of Israel going out: one is at night, and one is in the time frame of day. So, what's going on here? I mean, why didn't you say they went out on that day, not being distinct in distinguishing between a going out at night and a going out in the daytime? So we see that, as the Rebbe explains, that there are two levels of going out: a going out at night and a going out in day. But the whole idea of redemption, if we want to try to immerse our minds in redemption, the concept of redemption will have to involve two types of opposites. For sure, when they went out in the day, it was already the strength of the manifestation of the redemption. They'd finished the night of guarding themselves against the angel of death, which had come down and struck down the firstborn of the Egyptians. And they were ready to make their way outside of the borders of Egypt. But what was going on in the middle of night, that we should read in the Torah that there should be the mentioning of the going out of all the hosts of the Most High, meaning alluding to the children of Israel, while still they were still feasting on the Paschal sacrifice and witnessing the great miracle of the angel of death passing over the house, because they put the blood of the Paschal Lamb on their doorposts. So what's going on here? Because we know night and day are two opposites. How do we connect redemption to the concept of going out at night and going out by day? And what's this whole idea as well of a night of guarding for the name of the Most High? What's going on? So the Rebbe went on to say that the whole idea of going out of Egypt must relate not just that historical event, but something that a person can internalize within a spiritual service within the body and the soul of a person. And not only that, we should sense, all of us, whether we be of the children of Israel, and I inject also or the blessed children of Noah, this whole idea of going out of Egypt within our own personal lives, trying to go out of the own boundaries of our previous limited levels of consciousness, and see if we can head towards the promised land of higher awareness. And the promised land of higher awareness should ultimately connect us to the universal day of eternal redemption for the human life experience condition within among the children of man. Not only that, as well as the whole idea of going out of Egypt as it relates to the body and soul, let's understand that there is a spiritual component of Egypt, which is negative. I talked about human limitations, human intellect, which by itself can become very evil very quickly. There's also a positive aspect of Egypt, and this has to be explored even further. What are we talking about? Is Egypt a good experience or a negative experience? Are limitations a good experience in the human life experience or a negative experience? Well, let's look within the context, blessed souls, of eliciting a new emotional empowerment from the qualities of our intellectual awareness, and understand that the brain, within its inherent nature, should rule over the heart. And this is a matter which is further elucidated in chapter 12 and chapter 17 of a seminal work by the first Rebbe of Chabad, Rabbi Shneur Zalman Eliadi, in the seminal work of Tanya, a book which was made and created with absolute self-sacrifice by the first Lubavitcher Rebbe to help break the shells of insensitivity around the condition of the human heart. So the mind must come to influence the heart. But within that context as well, we must understand there are three governing bodies within the bodies within the human life form. They are the brain and the heart and the liver. Nevertheless, between these two rulers, these three rulers, excuse me, the brain and the heart and the liver, okay, that nevertheless, there is a big difference between how the brain rules over the heart and how the heart rules over the rest of the body and how the liver actually has an effect of ruling over part of the body. Because we know the heart towers way above, the brain towers way above, the head towers way above the heart. And is the beginning of human awareness. Why? Because the spirit of life, which is the source of all our empowerment, because it is a source of our life, what we normally call oxygen, carries Ruach HaChaim, the spirit of life. And that's transferred down to the heart. Therefore, the emotion, the intellect of the heart, the intellect of the brain, which is drawn from the spirit of life coming directly into the nostrils of the mouth, imparts an empowerment to the heart, which is the seatbed of emotions of a human being. And the revelation of new emotional awareness coming from the qualities of the mind needs further explanation. So we'll end on that, Brussels. Maybe we'll continue this tomorrow night, talking about getting out of Egypt. Let's think about it. How we conceive on a level of just simply understanding the English word of Egypt is quite superficial as opposed to what the Torah teachings, especially the inner dimension of Torah, can offer. And how do we leave our own limitations and also understand the positive aspect of our limitations, but ultimately with the purpose of fusing with a divine consciousness afforded to all human beings within the Torah Kadosha, the Holy Torah, and therefore revealing an aspect of Torah which wasn't revealed before, precisely in the place of our limited cognitive awareness and our limited set of emotional faculties, but to broaden them out and then hopefully to share with other people. So I end on this note, blessed souls. Hopefully we will try to continue on this matter. I know it seems very eclectic the way I present this to you, but that's my job as hopefully your humble neighborhood friendly cyberspace Torah activist to share concepts with you which will encourage you to go deeper into these teachings of Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachma, instructions of mercies. Don't just go and signing off for now, hopefully, with Baham Sheikh to be continued. Bahava Chad, with one love, Goel Chad, one destiny, the Kulana for all of us. Badarchi Nam Dachi Shalom, in a peaceful and pleasant way, the Birchat Hashem, with the blessing of the Most High, Yisparech.